Welcome everyone to episode 111 of Bike Club. This is Eileen.
This is Stephanie.
This is Shannon.
And this is Josh.
And we are back with a ghostly episode of the Vampire Diaries to recap. I can't wait to talk about that. Like for Halloween, oh my goodness. But before that, this is Bike Club Show, where each week we sink our teeth into your favorite fantastic shows. We're at facebook.com/bikeclubshow. Our Gmail is bikeclubshow@gmail.com. Our website is bikeclubshow.com, and we're also on Twitter at bikeclubshow. We got a lot of things to talk about, but before we do that, we're going to jump into our wine selections of the week, and I actually have a wine that I'm drinking. I'm going to go first. I found this bottle at Trader Joe's the other day for $6.99, and the reason why it attracted me, it's about Halloween season, right? We're at the end of October, and I found a bottle called Dearly Beloved Forever Red, Back to the Very Earth. And the bottle itself is patterned with flowers and leaves, but the patterns form a skeleton on the front
nice.
Cover. Again, Deadly Beloved, 2009 red wine from Mendocino County. So I guess this is sort of a blend here. And I'll read the back. Dearly Beloved brings together Mendocino County's finest red wines to create the perfect union of flavor and aroma. Rich chocolate, dark fruit, and soft vanilla oak spice marry nicely with ripe Bing cherry, plum, and cinnamon spice. This wine is awesome. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to give it four fangs. I had it opened up the bottle last night with some steak. Oh, so good. And then finished off the bottle tonight with pizza. So good. So,
wow.
I mean, really, this wine for $6, for $6.99, I go out and get some. If you're listening to this in the United States, go out and get some at Trader Joe's, $6.99. I'm going to go get another bottle. This is really yummy wine and really goes well with rich foods. And man, yeah, they conned me with the name and the bottle, the way it looks. But it's so it was worth it. You know, I look at stuff sometimes. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm only buying this for the label. But this time it really worked out. So I give Dearly Beloved four fangs.
Oh, Eileen, I was at Trader Joe's tonight trying to pick out a bite. No, I was trying to pick out a wine for tonight, and I saw your wine, and I resisted buying it because I was like, oh, Eileen already has it. And now I wish, you know, after hearing you talk about it, I wish that I bought it because it sounds really good. Instead, I picked up the Trader Joe's Zinfandel, and this is not like the two-buck chuck. I mean, I know everybody gets two-buck chuck from Trader Joe's, but this one is actually called Trader Joe's Growers Reserve Zinfandel, and it's got like a fancy label. Like, it looks like very grown up. And I bought it because I actually had the two-buck chuck Zinfandel the other day, and it was really good. I was like, well, you know, let's try the Trader Joe's brand. You know, I couldn't decide on anything else. It was under $7. I don't remember exactly how much it was, but I was actually really impressed. I'm going to give it 3.5 fangs, and I just want to let you know. Let's see. I'll read the back.
Okay.
Of the label. It says, the Trader Joe's Growers Reserve Zin was made with organically grown Zinfandel grapes. We believe in working with nature to produce outstanding wines. Nothing at the blah, blah, blah. Oh, here's about the flavor. It has mouth-filling flavors of ripe berry and plum. Full-bodied with peppery overtones, this is excellent red wine and complements full-flavored spicy dishes. I just drank this, you know, while watching TV, not necessarily with any dinner or anything, but, I really liked it. I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, you think that, you know, store brand wines might not be that good, but you know, Trader Joe's, they know what they're doing. Mm. I mean, if they have your wine, Dearly mm-hmm. Beloved, and my wine, you know, it's a good, it's great. So,
yay.
Yeah.
Okay, not bad. Two from Trader Joe's, one of our favorite places to go shopping for under $10 wines. Mm-hmm. Yay! All right, well, thank you, Stephanie. Okay, without any further ado, let's get into our news. And we've been starting with a couple of recaps of two different shows. I'm going to toss it over to Stephanie and Shannon to update us on The Secret Circle, which looks really scary. The previews for tonight's show.
Yeah.
Really scary.
It's been scary. And you know, I think Shannon and I, like, thought maybe it's because it's leading up to Halloween, or I don't know, but it's a lot scarier now than it was when the show first started. We've gone through, you know, demon snakes and possessed friends, and, you know, we've even had some deaths in the circle. One of the guys, Cassie's neighbor, died when he was murdered by the elders, you know, because he had the demon in him. And, you know, the most recent episode, that's not tonight, actually, we find out that when a member in the circle dies, someone else in the bloodline can take his place. What do you think of Jake, the new character, Shannon?
Jake kind of reminds me of my kind of douchey cousin, Jake. So I look at him and I know, it's so weird, but he looks exactly like one of my cousins, and my cousin's kind of like this little Yankee redneck, and
he's not a Bike Club listener, is he?
No. He doesn't treat people very well, and this character is very, very much like him, so I can't take him seriously at all, and I don't trust, like, anything that this boy is saying, so I don't like him at all. I don't like his character at all, but I think he's going to bring an interesting part to the show in a whole, because, you know, since his brother died, everybody kind of feels for him, but at the same time they can't trust him because he's an outsider who's automatically just joined into the circle.
Right. I do like that they are bringing a new dynamic into the show. Like, already they're bringing in new storylines.
I do too.
Yeah, and, you know, and on our Facebook page, I mean, there are some people, like our friend Chris and Chrissy are watching The Secret Circle, right, you know, just as much as we are. And, yeah, they thought it was a little weird how they killed off one of the people in the circle and just replaced him with the older brother. But I guess, you know, if one person dies, someone else can take their place. And I don't know. And then Cassie got this all-powerful crystal.
Which is her grandmother,
but I thought that was a little premature. I didn't really feel like Cassie is advanced enough to.
I don't either. I feel like she's still growing and she's still maturing in her witch abilities, and I have a feeling that she's either going to take advantage of that crystal in the wrong way, or somebody is going to try to take advantage of her and steal it from her.
And she already did use it for,
Yeah, she did.
Like, she used it to when Jake was fighting against one of his fellow witch hunters, or vampire hunters. No, witch hunters.
Witch hunters.
Yeah, and I don't know. She helped Jake. And then did you notice who the lead witch hunter was?
What's her name?
Oh, no, it's the dude, the old dude. He's the dad from Teen Wolf.
Oh, I never watched Teen Wolf, so I didn't.
Who is this guy? Who's in Teen Wolf?
Okay, so there's this set of, what you call it, witch hunters in the secret circle, and we find out this Jake person, who is a witch and a part of the circle, is kind of two-faced. Like, he's trying to be Cassie's friend, but at the same time he has a secret agenda that he's trying to kill Cassie too. And he reports to this older gentleman who was also a witch hunter. And he is revealed in last week's episode. And we're like, wait a minute, who is that? And Chris, our Facebook viewer or our listener, he actually realized that that hunter is the same guy from Teen Wolf who is the wolf hunter.
No, the dad?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
I mean, I guess we could, like, look it up on IMDb. But, like, yeah, he looks exactly the same.
Oh, wow.
So
now, you saw a little bit of this week's episode, correct?
Like, I just watched the first 20 minutes. Did you?
How was it? No, I was busy finishing up The Walking Dead.
It was good. I mean, we're getting a little bit more into Jake's storyline. And, you know, like, there's a scene where Melissa is visiting, you know, the dead brother's grave. And then Jake's there and they have a little chat. And and then we're also dealing with the aftermath of the breakup, Diana and the main guy, I keep forgetting his name, but the main man character, teenage boy character, like, they broke up because the dad said, like, oh, you know, it's in the stars, it's in fate that, you know, my son's supposed to be with Cassie.
Adam.
Adam. Okay, so Adam and Diana broke up, and we're dealing with the aftermath at that point. So, and the grandma's going out of town to deal with some witch stuff, and she's like, oh, Cassie, you know, you're going to have friends over, right? So you'll be safe. And she's like, yeah, we're just going to watch scary movies. But in reality, she's like a fat party. And so I didn't actually stick around to watch the rest of it, but it's shaping up to be a pretty Halloween-y episode. It's supposed to be scary. So.
Awesome. You know, Halloween episodes are some of my favorite of TV shows because I just love Halloween.
Mm. Ooh, I wonder if Vampire Diaries didn't do anything this week for Halloween.
They didn't. Yeah, you're right.
Well, they kind of symbolically did with all the ghosts, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
No goblins, though.
No goblins.
So.
Anyway, obviously, I don't know. We're into, episode 7 of The Secret Circle and still hooked.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And, yeah, I'm really enjoying it. But I have, I gotta say, I have Walking Dead on the mind right now.
Yes.
Okay, so it's fresh for you, right?
Yeah.
Let's go to The Walking Dead right now. And episode 2, did we all watch episode 2?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Okay, now what did we think? What are you guys thinking of the show so far? I mean, poor little guy got shot. Now Rick is running to the farm and we discover new people in the farm or in this farm that are alive. And they happen to have some kind of medical experience, and poor kid is just like kind of nearing death. What are you guys thinking? Man.
I'm still stressed out like the whole time. I mean, if there's one thing that The Walking Dead does for me, it just like raises my blood pressure. But I really like it. I thought it was interesting how the medical experience of the family in the farmhouse was because they were veterinarians.
Yeah, that was funny.
Mom is pissed.
Oh, man. And I felt for Rick, like when he was running across that field trying to get to the farmhouse, and you could just see like the pain and the physical pain that he was going through, and he just wouldn't stop. He would not stop at all. And I kind of related it to the first episode where he was running with the little girl and how he tired out really quickly with the little girl, and he was like, okay, just hide here, instead of like running for his life with her in his hands the entire time. And then you have his son in his hands and he's, you know, running for his life. I just found that I don't know, I kind of compared the two, and I found it kind of interesting how he slowed down quite a bit when he had the little girl in his hands compared to his son. Mm-hmm. Even though his son is dying.
Yeah.
It's been a few days since I've watched it. I think I actually watched it on Monday, and I think that, you know, like the strongest storyline was about the children. Like that's all I can really remember is the children. And, I don't know, like Rick was, giving so much blood and he wouldn't stop even though it made him sick. And, I also thought the scene where, the guy you hate, Eileen,
I know,
went, with the guy who shot the kid.
Yes.
To the medic center, and it was overrun with zombies, and
that was
they set off flares.
Yeah, and that was so awesome. Stressful. Again, another stressful scene. I'm like, oh my god, you know, they go and they know that it's been overrun, and man, and then you look at it, you're like, oh my god, there they all are. I don't know how, you know, when they found the flares and they were able to kind of distract the zombies.
That was awesome. I was like, zombies are so stupid.
I guess they didn't have any extra flares to distract them when they needed to get out. Because I'm like, how are they going to get out of there?
I know, they should have thought about that.
So, and then they kind of, at the end, locked themselves into a kind of a corner there.
It looked like a outside bathroom almost, because I saw a little picture on the wall, and I don't know, that's just what I thought it was. And it looked like they were actually trapped.
I mean, because if they don't get out, then the kid's probably going to die because he'd been, you know, I mean, and we find out that doctor's a vet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man. All right. Well, at least he has some kind of experience. But, you know, I mean, I don't think any medic, I mean, I think any medic would say the same thing that, you know, if he flinches, he risks, you know, cutting the artery. And it's just a dangerous situation no matter what. So very, very stressful. Now, before the mom got back, there was that other group that was kind of like meandering and wondering where is everybody else. And was it Andrea, the blonde girl? And mm-hmm. she gets cornered by a zombie and freaks out.
That's scary.
That was scary. I don't know. There was something about that scene I didn't really like.
Who saved her? I can't remember. Like, how did she get out of that situation?
Oh, the woman on the horse from the farm.
Oh,
right?
That's right. Yeah.
And then back at the trailer, or back by all those cars, the one guy that cut his arm was like hallucinating. Remember?
Because he has blood poisoning.
That was awesome.
I know.
I did love the scene where they actually found medicine for him.
Yes. Oh, and did you notice there was blue crystal meth in there?
Yeah.
That
like,
was awesome.
I was like, wow, ode to Breaking Bad. Okay.
Yeah.
very, very.
Speaking of Breaking Bad, did you guys, a quick side note.
Yeah.
Did you guys know that the season finale of Breaking Bad, the special effects of Gus's face being blown to bits was done by The Walking Dead?
I did know that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's super cool. It must be nice being part of the same network.
Totally.
So we better see more of the special effects in The Walking Dead.
Exactly. Exactly. Josh, had you seen this? Have you seen The Walking Dead?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Did you like it? What was your thoughts?
I mean, it's weird. Like, this season, like, I think both episodes were good, but I'm just not as into it as I was the first season. I don't know. There have been just various little things I've snagged on that I just haven't. And while things have been, I mean, I think they've done a good job of ramping up the danger level. I haven't felt that. Like, oh my God, they're gonna die! You know, I don't know, just something. I don't know, just the feel is different.
I think that
the
kid might die.
Yeah, that's possible.
No.
Do you read the comics? I guess not, huh?
No.
Okay. I mean,
I don't want him to die.
Tom knows the answer. Your husband knows the answer, but I don't know. It's like I almost want to take bets between us. Is the kid gonna die?
I vote no.
I vote no.
No, but I think he's going to die.
But I don't know. I mean, I haven't read the book and I haven't talked to Tom, so.
Oh, those two guys are stuck in that little, like, little place, and they're not going to get out in time for the surgical supplies to get back. Like, and
they'll find a way.
What are the chances of, like, all the zombies just dispersing? They don't have any more flares, and I don't know.
Well, I mean, but the other part of the gang is on the way, so they could help. And also, there's yeah, what was the other? Yeah, there was some other possibility of escape that I was thinking of, but now it's escaping me.
Well, one of the two kids is going to die, I think, which sucks. I don't want them to die, but like we still haven't found the little girl yet.
What did you think of like leaving the sign for the for the little girl if she came back? That I kind of was like, what? The mother would not be like, oh, okay, we'll do that. I'll go along with you.
Yeah, let's just leave her a note.
Let's leave her a note to like walk however many miles it is up to this farm. So.
Right, because she's already so good with directions. I mean, we learned that in the first episode.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think it's like that. There's been several little things like that that keep kind of like breaking me out of the story. And I didn't feel any of that really in the first season. Like the first season, I was just completely gripped throughout. So I think that's the main difference. But I'm still committed to watching it and seeing what happens. So.
Yeah.
Did anybody feel like this second episode was a little slow?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I felt that too. I mean, I felt like it was a lot of, you know, what are they going to do? How is this kid going to get out of it? Is he going to pull out of it or not? And
yeah,
a lot of just Rick kind of wandering around getting paler and paler as he's giving more,
yes.
more blood.
I don't know. I didn't find it to be too slow. I thought I actually enjoyed, you know, the parts in the cottage where Rick was interacting with his buddy that slept with his wife.
Uh-huh.
Because, it kind of showed their true friendship, like how, you know, they were there for each other. They wouldn't let anything happen to each other despite all the crap that they've been through, despite whatever underlying drama that they have. I just felt, I just thought it was really well played, you know, just describing the relationship between those two guys.
Mm.
Like, they really stick their neck out for each other, even though they have, you know, underlying drama. So,
Well, Rick isn't aware of that. He still doesn't know, right?
No, he doesn't know. But the other guy, God, what is his name again? I'm sorry.
Shane.
Like, even though we think he's such a douchey guy, and I know Eileen wants him dead. I don't know. I mean, there are these moments where he kind of like, there are these moments where you see his sincerity, like, in this friendship towards Rick.
Yeah, that. he was definitely supporting Rick in this episode. So yeah, we were seeing that side of it.
I mean, you don't really get to see that too often. Yeah. So
I guess if you take a look at it, they thought he was dead. So that's why they even started something, you know, together.
That's true.
You know, before that, he can't help if he fell in love with her during that time. And maybe he already had, you know, from afar, but still, I'm like...
Too little, too late. I mean, he should have said something in season one. or when Rick came back, they should have just said something. And this is also, I mean, I'm watching this other show called Homeland. It's about, with Claire Danes. And it's the same thing. Like, this guy comes back from war and, you know, his buddy in the military slept with his wife and blah, blah, blah. Mm. It's the same thing. It's a recurring story. And I always think you should have said something as soon as they got back, no matter how painful it is. You should have said something so you can deal with it. And then now you're in this situation with like Rick and Shane, or they're just, you know, got this little secret between them.
Yeah.
Well, kind of grown out of proportion. I don't know. And I feel like it's going to blow up.
It's totally going to blow up. Yeah. And Rick will prevail. Thank you. Okay.
I hope so, because the other guy's supposed to be dead.
I know. Exactly. Okay. Now, we didn't get to talk about your vampire playlist, Stephanie.
Oh, man. Okay. So I did something pretty fun. At Revision 3, we're an internet television company, and we're doing something with YouTube called YouTube Playlist. And everyone got to pick their own subjects, and so I picked vampires. Because, you know, I thought it would be fun to show the most funny spoofs and skits and, you know, just so check out the link in our show notes for this episode, and you'll be taken through this like little vampire ride, looking at like really, really crazy fans of Breaking Dawn. We'll see a skit by Jimmy Fallon and Robert Pattinson. We'll see, you know, a Buffy the Vampire skit on Whose Line Is It Anyway? And I don't know, it's just pretty fun. So if you got some time, go ahead and check that out.
Very cool. Thank you, Stephanie. All right. Well, we got a little bit of Twilight news. We didn't get to talk about this last week, but there are some new wedding sneak peek videos. And we have a link to that online. Just, you know, a little bit more of the preparation. A little more Edward talking about, I've waited all my life for this, Miss Bella Swan, or whatever he says. So that's been making the rounds. And also there is a Breaking Dawn concert tour. Not quite sure what that all means, but there are several dates announced. November 7th in Atlanta, November 8th in Chicago, November 9th in Dallas, November 10th here in San Francisco, and November 11th in Salt Lake City. Now, you're going to get some casts that are going to attend, and performances from people who are on, or bands that are on the soundtrack. Now, we get to see in San Francisco Ashley Green, Nikki Reed, Peter Facinelli, and Jackson Rathbone. And I guess in order to get these tickets anywhere, you have to line up on November the 5th. Yeah?
Yeah.
At 10 a.m. I won't be able to go for sure because I have a baby shower. But if anybody here wanted to go, if anybody in those cities.
I will
cities,
make an effort.
You will? You will, yeah. Stephanie? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I live like a mile from the Fillmore, and I drive a scooter, so I could just park it right in front. And
well,
if I can, I'll try to get like two tickets.
All right. Well, if it's
but,
anything.
But, you know, I don't know. I'll at least take a picture of all the people who are there in my company.
If it's anything like the Stonestown experience I had, there'll be a lot of people in line. But the Fillmore does hold quite a bit of people. So even if there was a long line, it's quite possible you could still get the tickets. And the tickets, again, they're free if you're one of them, the people who gets in line to, you know, early to get those tickets before selling out. I don't know.
All right.
It depends on the venue, right?
Mm-hmm. I'll go at 9. I'm not going to go any earlier. It's just an hour of waiting in line, and if I get it, cool. If not, I'll just report what happened.
Okay. Sounds good. Yay. Right. Stephanie taking one for the team. Yeah. Josh, you're not going to go, Josh?
I think somehow mysteriously I might not make it to that.
And Shannon, what about you?
Let's see. What night is that on?
East Bay. Or
Thursday.
Get there at night.
Well, yeah. No, but the to stand in line, it's a Saturday.
Yeah, it's a Saturday.
Oh gosh, I don't know. I don't know, man. Does that mean I would have to get up early and go into the city?
Well, Stephanie's going at 9 a.m. She's going at 9, so it's up to you. You don't have to.
About, okay, Shannon.
Maybe if I could cut in
line
with her.
I'll get there at 9, and I'll call you if there's no one there. I'll be like, get here, get dropped off, and then you can join me in line, okay? Then we can get more tickets.
All right. I'll jump out of bed in my PJs and head over there.
Hey, why not? All right. Let's do it.
All right. Thank you, guys. And there's one more. Oh, did you put this in here, Stephanie?
Yeah, this is me. I posted this music video on our Facebook page a couple times, and we've gotten some pretty good response from it.
Oh, cool.
The Breaking Dawn soundtrack is really pushing this song by Christina Perry called 1,000 Years, and I think it's a song. It's a love song, and I it's been a while since I've been into slow songs, but this one's really, really nice.
Cool.
And
pretty.
I think today they just released the official music video for it. Mm-hmm. And it has scenes from the wedding from the movie in Breaking Dawn.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and there's even this part in the music video where they kind of break and then Edward says, you know, I love you. And she's like, I love you too. And I don't know if it's during their vows or whatever, but it's very sweet. You guys should check it out. It's a good song.
All right. Awesome.
I'm totally going to use that for a wedding song one day.
I might sneak it into my wedding if I don't tell Corey that it's from Twilight.
Right. Well,
he doesn't have to know.
Oh my God. I also want that song in my wedding, the Iron and Wine song.
The one from Twilight the end Bird. Of Twilight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he know that's a Twilight song now?
No, he doesn't know.
Okay, we won't tell him. We won't tell him. He doesn't listen, right? So we won't tell him. All right, good. Okay, we don't have any True Blood news, but Vampire Diaries. All right, Stephanie,
yeah.
I watched this trailer last night.
Did you like it?
I love the original movie, okay? I love Jessica.
Honey?
Yeah, Jessica Alba.
Oh, I never watched it.
Oh,
I thought it was
good with her and Mekhi Phifer. Actually, I saw it in the theater, and then recently on a plane, I watched it again. It just happened to be on, you know, you get the DirecTV on Virgin or JetBlue, and I was like, oh, yeah, honey, okay. And I was like,
one of those guilty pleasure movies.
Totally. This seems like a total ripoff. Now, they completely make reference to the Jessica Alba character in the trailer, you know? And I guess the woman who played her mom is in it. But so Kat Graham, Bonnie of Vampire Diaries, is the new honey. I don't know. It doesn't look good.
It looks like a sequel that goes straight to DVD.
Thank you.
Yep.
However, I mean, this doesn't take away from the fact that she looks hot.
Yeah,
I guess she can dance. I mean, I think in real life, Kat is she's a singer, right?
Yeah.
Like she has musical and, you know, just artistic talent. So I could see this is up her alley. But I kind of giggled a little bit when I saw the preview.
I know, I watched it.
And the comments are so funny on the trailer. It says, "From the director of Honey comes Honey 2." That's impressive.
Really? Honey too, huh?
So anyway, I don't know. I mean, just for kicks, I might just like watch it on Netflix one day.
Yeah.
I'll let you guys know how it is.
Yeah, I would probably suggest that too. But thank you for finding that. Because
it was just hilarious. I mean, she's the leading character though. So I thought that was like a big deal for her.
I can't remember if you tweeted this or if I just saw this on our Facebook page.
I put it on Facebook.
Okay, I think I was looking on our Facebook page last night and I was like, wait, what is this? And oh man,
I post stuff on there all the time.
I know. I couldn't give it a like, Stephanie. I couldn't because I was like, I don't know about that, but thank you for finding it.
And watching the Vampire Diaries tonight when Kat, or aka Bonnie, came on screen for the first time, all I could think about was the trailer.
Oh god,
I was distracted. I was like, oh god,
there she goes,
my mind.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into our recap of The Vampire Diaries, Season 3, Episode 7, called Night of Illumination. Okay, I want to start off by reading a tweet from Julie Plec, one of the executive producers of The Vampire Diaries. And she says, tonight's TVD was designed to be a holiday treat for our longtime fans. Thank you for caring so much about these special characters. And then she does a hashtag, I cried. So
I believe it. Yeah. There were so many treats in this episode. So many old faces.
Okay.
See, it was a Halloween. You were seeing the ghosts.
It was a ghost, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just rattle off all the people. Okay, last week we were like, what is Mason? Why is he back? Okay, he's a ghost, so that's one. And then we see Graham, right? We see Graham's with Bonnie's grandmother and Lexi.
Lexi, yes. I'm so happy to see Lexi.
Oh, so happy to see her back too. And then later we see Pearl and all those two vampires.
I cried when Pearl came back.
That was great. That was great to see Pearl. I was so glad Anna got to have that.
I mean, we figure out that Anna was... You know, her main purpose was trying to find her mom. And she wanted to, that was the reason why she was back. And it was nice to see Jeremy, too. But she had, at least we finally knew what her purpose was. Mm-hmm. She was just kind of, you know, saying that on the other side, she didn't know where her mom was. Is her mom okay? How do I find her? And, you know, if you've watched the episode, you know that they find each other at the end before they disappear, which was great. I was really happy. I was like, oh, yeah, what about Pearl? It would be nice to see her. But
Anna was, I was just really glad that they made it a deal that was happening to all the ghosts.
Yeah.
You know, because instead of it being some, instead of there being some super complicated explanation for Mason, because that's what I kept fearing, that there'd be, you know, that it would be really, something really goofy. But I was like, oh, that was really great. That was a great idea. Because then it was the same thing that was explaining why Anna could, you know, touch Jeremy and et cetera. So
yeah, and kiss him.
Yes.
Yeah.
That too.
Make out.
That Jeremy.
You know, I do have a question though. How did she end up with the necklace, Anna? Because I thought Catherine had it. Or did she just get it from Kat? Because Kat's being eaten right now by Michael.
I may be mistaken, but I believe somehow Damon got the necklace.
Yeah, Damon. Yeah, I think Damon took it with him when he went back to town. When she went off to go to Michael, and he was taking the necklace because they had found out from Jeremy that I thought from Jeremy / Anna that the necklace was important somehow. I think.
Okay, right. I forgot then. Sorry, yeah. I just.
And then at some point, Anna was in the room when Elena was talking about the necklace. Of course, they can't see Anna, but she's the only one who overheard about the necklace, so they knew it was her who took it, even though Anna denied taking it at first.
Okay. Okay, good. I wanted to clarify that, because I was like, why did she end up with it? I'm completely lost.
She's sneaky, and she's a ghost.
Sneaky girl, that's right. Yeah.
She admitted it finally.
I know. I can't stay mad at Anna. Oh.
I think she's gone for good, too, Josh. No. Are you okay with that?
No.
Sorry.
But
no, she's not. Because, well, I mean, can we skip to the part with the necklace? I mean, since we're talking about the necklace.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. So, it's possible she's still around. Yeah.
Yeah, because Graham's and when it did the spell to destroy the necklace, and then, okay, all the ghosts disappeared. But then, at the end... like some burst happens in the fireplace and Bonnie goes back to it. She's like, what? And she sees that the necklace is still intact.
But what's up with that? Do you think another witch made that happen?
Must be.
Well, it could be that original witch somehow was like, oh no, you don't.
You can't destroy my necklace. What?
Right.
So there is. So I'm thinking because of that, Josh, you might see our Anna again.
That would be really cool. But on the other hand, it could be that, you know, that now she's reunited with Pearl, that she's found, because it seems like the rule that's been laid down is that if a ghost finds peace, if they find some resolution,
they finalize their crossing.
Yes, exactly. So,
but we could see Lexi again.
Yeah, I hope Lexi comes back.
That's true.
Me too.
That would be really, because Stefan's not out of the woods yet. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning. Mason's a ghost. He's been messing with Damon, and Damon kind of apologizes to him, and he's like, all right, well, you know, I know something. There's something that I could help you with to kill the originals. Whatever. Oh, okay. Well, you know, then he leads him on this sort of trail, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. At this point, I wasn't sure whether or not to trust Basin. What about you guys? I was like, I don't know.
But same here.
But Damon was, you know, questioning the whole time. He's like, okay, I think you're leading me into a trap. I don't know.
He just spelled it all out. He's like, you know, I think I remember reaching into your chest and ripping your heart out. So I don't quite buy this buddy thing.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, now in the beginning of the episode, before he gets led into this, you know, wherever he was tied up and he got out. That's when he asked Bonnie for help after. He's like, look, Mason's back. You did something, your witchery thing. Can you fix it? You know? And she's like, what? And then it's funny because Elena starts thinking about, okay, well, the ghosts, you know, she's talking to, that scene early on when, Jeremy and Alaric were there and her, and she's talking about, well, maybe can we get Lexi back? She knows how to fix Stefan. And, you know, he's kind of like, Anna's there the whole time. And then, you know, he's holding her hand in another moment and this and that. What were you guys thinking about Jeremy at this point?
He was being a silly little boy. Yeah. He was being a teenager, and he was like, oh, I can have the love of my life back, but she's dead. So when, oh, I think it was hard, at the though. End when, it is hard.
I have some sympathy for him in that situation.
I'm sorry. Bonnie said it. He's like, they didn't break up. He didn't stop loving her. She died.
Right. Yeah.
So that's exactly what it happened.
I don't know. Is that what you were thinking, Josh?
Yeah, exactly. That it was, I mean, it'd be different if they had actually ended their relationship at some point and then, you know, then she had died. But the fact that it had been broken off precisely just because of her death, you know, made me understand why he had all these unresolved feelings and would take it that far. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, he never got to like officially end it and say goodbye to her and, you know, all that happy, fun stuff.
Right.
God, I remember I'm just like doing flashbacks to the time where he actually drank Anna's blood after she died.
Oh, yeah.
God, he was so in love with her and he like wanted to join her in the afterlife.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
It's crazy.
It was sad. And at the same time, and it was weird, like when Elena caught him kissing her in the house.
Yeah. I wondered if he saw that she saw them kissing or if she saw Jeremy kissing the air.
Oh,
he was like,
she seemed to see, because it seemed like
everybody was seeing the ghost. Yeah. Seemed like, right.
Because yeah. I was thinking, and she looked straight at her when she addressed her as well. Said, you know, you need to leave. You know, you need to poof or do whatever you ghosts do. But she was like talking directly to Anna.
Well, and that was my question at the Mystic Grill when Mason shows up. I'm like, does anybody see him? Was he just not a big deal? In Mystic Falls, like, I guess he didn't really live there, so not many people knew him. But
yeah, that's true. That's true.
Because I was like, well, don't people see him when people go, wait a minute, isn't that Mason Lockwood? But I guess he didn't really live there. So.
Yeah.
He didn't really live there, and also he wasn't, like, officially murdered. He just left.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that's still the story. Yeah.
Okay. Good point. So we see all these people and they realize that the necklace is what they need to destroy it. And, you know, we talked about it already. Anna had it, even though she admitted that she didn't have it, but you know, there was a little bit of like, who has it? Where is it? Where is everybody? But let's go back to Mason. So he decides to help, Damon. And, it was kind of weird when Damon gets, you know, he's in that tunnel and he gets stuck with those. What do you call those?
Skewered a little bit.
Yeah, he gets skewered twice. I thought, wow, again, they missed the heart. Weird. And what did you guys think? Well, let's just jump. What did you guys think about what they found? The hieroglyphics?
I initially thought it was goofy, but then did you watch the preview?
Yeah, I did.
Now that I know what they are, I'm like, oh, that's really cool. Now I'm really curious to see.
Can we remind ourselves what it is? I saw like little post-it notes next to the.
It's apparently the names. Apparently, one of the things it involves is the names of all the original vampires.
Yeah.
So it's apparently telling their story, and so we're going to learn more about that family, which we've all been speculating about. We've been like, so what? How did these originals themselves come about, and what is their deal? So I think that's cool that they're moving in that direction.
Yeah, I agree. Because it's time. We need to know about them, right?
Ooh, well, maybe that means we'll get to meet the rest of them.
And maybe Elijah will be back, at least in flashback. Yeah. I mean, he could come back, but we don't know for sure if he'll come back because Klaus has got him, you know, in a coffin somewhere.
I miss Klaus.
Do you miss Klaus? Really?
Wow.
He hasn't been back for the last couple of episodes, and I kind of miss him. Yeah.
Wow.
He's very enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
It's true. He's a good presence.
He's a bad guy, but...
But he's making all these hybrids. He messed Tyler up. I mean, really?
Ooh, Tyler wasn't in this last episode either.
Yeah, that's
true. No, he wasn't. Where was he this whole time?
Yeah, he was
gone. Off with Klaus?
No, I think he's just not in the episode, you know?
He should have
Catherine. I'm still like, what happened to Catherine? That's the thing where I'm like, I don't want Catherine to be all completely drained.
She doesn't want to deal with no ghosts. And yeah, we don't know if she's dead or alive yet. Yeah, I'm surprised Tyler wasn't in an episode though, because his mom got all like effed up in the car accident.
Yeah, and what was the big founders? Was this like a Halloween founders? What was this again? Historical?
5 billion founders are founders so celebration.
It's another founders party. I'm like, there's whatever celebration it is. It's a founders party or a school dance.
Yes.
I'm like, what is it? Like, I'm so confused.
They just loved party in that town.
Oh man. And I almost didn't recognize those tomb vampires when they came back. What did you guys think?
I still didn't recognize them. I was like, I don't know who you are.
They were the bad guys who, I mean, they were originally under Pearl's command, right? But then they rebelled against her and started going wild. So that was the whole thing. That's why Uncle John came to town, because he was going to eliminate all of them. And that's why Pearl killed and all of that. So, yeah. But no, I didn't recognize them at first, but I was glad that they filled that in. You know, someone said like, oh, from the tomb, you know, or whatever. So,
yeah. Well, let's just talk really briefly, too, about Lexi and Stefan and Elena and that whole situation there, where Lexi basically, when she shows up and Stefan sees him for the first time, she just bangs his head on the car.
Smashes him.
That was awesome.
She's like, you're off the rails.
She's done this before, so she's like, okay, business as usual.
I guess technically she is stronger than him, right? So even if she's dead, her vampire powers, if she's back for, you know, temporary reasons, she is still stronger than him. I love that scene. He just bashes him. I'm like, yes.
Or I could do this.
Yes. And then she locks him up and she basically tries to bring out, you know, the good. And she tries to do it in such a small amount of time. I mean, she worked on him for God knows how long to get it out. And I remember, you know, in an earlier episode, Stefan said it took him 30 years, right? To kind of really shake it. She's trying to do it in, what, several hours?
Right.
Probably not going to work. So what do you guys think of that whole scene with her trying to draw him out? And it seems like stuff was, like, some kind of sympathy was coming out of him, right? Maybe a little bit?
I don't know. It seemed like he was faking it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it seemed like it when Lexi was there, but then at the end when Elena was like, oh, I still think you're in there, and he just totally bashed her. I don't know. I felt like he was faking it the whole time.
Really? Okay. So you don't think there was any glimmer? I'm not saying that he was ever turned. I don't think he was turned at all. But you don't think there was any glimmer of hope at all?
Not the way he didn't have that same look as the previous episode when he caught Elena off the bleachers. There was that look.
I agree.
He looked like he was just making it up so he could be, you know, not tortured anymore by Lexi.
Yeah, because he would turn. It would seem like he would be having some actual feelings, but then when they still didn't free him, then he and immediately reneged on them. Yeah. You know.
But so. Elena does say now she knows what to do to like make him better. So.
Well, it's interesting that she said that, but she also said that there's a limit. You know, I'm not going to, you know,
I'm not going to do this forever. I'm not going to waste my whole life if you don't try at all to regain yourself. So that was interesting. And she was drawing the parallel when she said, I'm not going to love a ghost. She obviously was seeing Jeremy with Anna made her think about that. So
true that. Do we feel hope for him? I mean, I think there is hope, but I think I look back at it and go, well, it took him 30 years. How is he going to do it in a season?
You know, right.
I do hope he comes back, but I can't see it happening anytime soon.
Yeah.
There's just way too much work that he would have to put into it for that to happen. So I don't know. Maybe next season.
Wow. So you don't even think it's going to be this season at all? You think he's going to?
I really don't. I think this season's going to be full of Elena and Damon. Yes. Damon.
You mean Elena has to get with Damon in order for it to snap, you think?
Oh, I mean, this is their season.
Oh, you mean it's their season. Okay.
Just plot-wise. Got it. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, the one way I could see it happening this season, if some huge traumatic crisis happens, like probably involving the originals, that forces him out of his inhumanity, you know, to save her or something at some crucial moment.
Well, we do know that Klaus's mom's coming.
We do?
Oh, I put it on our Facebook page. I forgot to mention it.
Okay.
They cast Klaus's mother. Let me get it right now. But yeah, they cast her, and she's supposed to be in one of the future episodes.
Ooh, I hope it's more than just like flashbacks.
Me too.
Yeah,
she's gotta be in the episode somehow, because I mean,
in the present day, not
see the originals again.
Yeah,
I mean, I know in the preview we do see Rebecca again.
Yes. I mean, she's still around. I don't know where she's been this whole time.
She's been shopping.
Or maybe she's with Tyler, right? Trying to influence him.
Oh, in the possibly. Bad way.
Remember last time we saw her, she gave him a treat. Okay. Well, cool. Did we miss anything in this episode? Oh, Bonnie and Jeremy. She's like, go away. Go away.
Oh, yeah. She's pissed.
That's it. I would be too.
I don't blame her. Yeah, she has every right to be pissed.
Yeah, I mean, I understand both of them basically in this situation. Yeah. Both of their.
I don't think. Yeah, it's gonna take a lot for them to get back together. I don't think she's gonna trust.
If they ever will.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I just posted a link on our little spreadsheet about Klaus's mom.
Ooh, okay.
The actress's name is.
She looks young. I guess she doesn't age either.
Alice Evans. Yeah. Alice Evans has been cast as the mother of Rebecca, Klaus, and Elijah. Doesn't actually say when she's going to be on, but I'm guessing this season, hopefully? I'm not sure. Yeah, anyway, this actress, she played Eloise on ABC's Lost, and she was on Mothers and Sisters, and she's also the wife of Ringer's lone Gruffled. God, I don't recognize her, honestly.
I don't either.
I've been watching Ringer, but she's on Ringer.
Well, she's the wife of someone.
I don't recognize her either.
Huh. Okay, well, awesome. Good to know. Mama's coming.
Yeah.
all right. Well, I think that does it for this episode, unless we missed anything. I mean, hopefully we'll see Catherine. And maybe more. Obviously, we got to see Catherine and Michael, or know what happened, or figure out what happens to Catherine. I think this episode finally ties up all the dead people. They're done. We got a nice little flashback. Thank you.
Or
to
they
the
might
producers.
Be done.
Oh, I guess there might be done.
I mean, the necklace. Yeah, we'll have to see.
Hmm.
But you're right. It did. It was a big. It was like a ghost extravaganza episode. So.
It was cool. I do want to see more of Lexi. Let's see more Lexi. I don't know. Don't you think there's a chance that Vicky could come back? Because I don't think she's done. No?
I'm not sure.
You think they banished her for good?
Might have.
Well,
that was
Matt
very specific.
You know, it depends on Matt. I think it's all up to Matt. Like, if he invites her back.
I guess that's true.
But he's the one who shut her out.
Yeah, right. That's true. But I think he's done with her.
Yeah, he seems to be.
Yeah.
I mean, he's sad, but he's... Oh, Matt wasn't in this episode either. That's all right.
Well,
he was referred to by Bonnie, who was fighting with Jeremy, saying like, you know, Matt even, you know, turned off his own sister and you can't even turn off Anna, blah, blah,
right.
blah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I also enjoyed that scene where Damon apologized to Alaric.
Yeah, I did too, actually. Yeah.
I thought it was cute. Like, he did the same apology and then gave him that little Damon smile.
That extra, like, but I didn't mean it when I was talking to.
So cute.
Yeah. I mean, again, it shows a little bit of the humanity in Damon coming through. I mean, the thing about Damon is that he just admits, listen, I drink human blood, you know? I am not super squeaky clean. I'm not even trying, you know? I do have feelings in there. And I think, you know, as he gains friendships with people like Alaric and Elena, you know, there's some trust coming in there. But he's not like, he's not goody two-shoes like Stefan was. In Stefan's recovery after being a ripper, he's not like that Stefan. But he's you know, not horrible. And he does admit to making mistakes and not thinking. So I will give that to Damon. So there we go. All right, guys. Well, if there's nothing else, I think that wraps up our look at the Vampire Diaries and this episode. And there will be another fun one. Next week, Hieroglyphics, the originals.
Yes, very interesting.
Can't wait. All right, well, I think that does it for this episode of My Club Show. So thank you, everybody, for listening. All right, bye. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.